Hello everybody, this is Professor Venkatayar again, covering chapter 4 of Organization Behavior, which is titled as Personality, a very important and a very interesting aspect of human beings, personality. The moment I say the word personality, what comes to your mind? Physical looks, that's a common man's way of understanding what's a personality. Oh, he has got a lovely personality. He is very magnetic. He is a dynamic personality. Common words which we find. The impression that you make by your physical appearance is usually thought to be personality. Is that what we are talking about in OB? The answer is yes, and also something more. Are looks important? Yes. At the same time, no. Yes, at the same time, maybe. So here, I want all of us to go through the journey of understanding the role of personality in behavior. So we need to go systematically and scientifically to understand that this is not the personality which we talk about in common parlance. Outside in the social world, when we meet people, we talk about personality, attitudes, very loosely. As a student of OB, every one of us who is listening to this particular video have to put ourselves into that scientific understanding about what is a personality. Why do we need to do this? We need to do this to see that we are able to manage people, manage ourselves and others. So my request to all of you is stay tuned with the technicalities about what is being discussed in personality. It's not looks alone, it's much more than that. Right? So let's start off. The topics that are covered in this module include need for change personality. What is personality? Personality traits. What are the determinants of personality? Personality development. Personality theories. Personality and organizational behavior. And we are concluding with type A and type B personalities, a classification. So let's get on with the first one. What's the need for change personality? That's the title given by the author. Let me reword it. What's the need for us to look into our own personality? And what is the need for us to look into our personality and make certain adaptations? I'm sure all of you have gone through this. You had one type of outlook, and then as time progressed, as events unfolded, that outlook had to be changed. So the points given in the slide starts off with saying liberalization, privatizations and globalizations have changed the economic scenario. It's a repetition from the earlier slides, but it talks about the macro changes have taken place as a first starting point. Second, it talks about competition has changed the recruitment, retention and hiring policies in organization. Competition is very stiff today, thanks to globalization, thanks to the consumer movement, and because there's a competition between company A and company B in the same industry, they are fighting to hire the right people, competent people, retain them and ensure that those people are adding value progressively as time progresses. Companies seek people with versatile personality traits. Versatile means somebody who's got multiple ways of doing things. A person who's very flexible. A person who's multi-skilled. A person who's willing to experiment and do things. Somebody who's raring to go. People are seeking that type of person now. There was a time when we used to have one particular designation, production engineer. Production engineer had a production personality, and he was seen as a production personality only unidimensional. When we say versatile, we mean multidimensional. Today, a production engineer is exposed to or needs to get exposed to other aspects of business also. There is a difference. When I started my career as a production engineer, it was only production, which was my domain. I thought like a production engineer. I acted like a production engineer and I spoke like a production engineer, to the exclusion of not knowing what is being happening in other functional areas of the organization. Today, it's very different. It's all encompassing. And since it is all encompassing, we are able to move from function to function. That is an imperative of today's working. So, there is a need for us to have a personality trait, which is basically the tendency for a person to behave in a certain way. We must have the trait, we must have that flexibility to keep moving with the roles that we are playing. The last point in the slide is, individuals should develop multiple traits and change them depending on the circumstances. This is exactly what I've said. So now, getting on to the next one, here is where we are defining what is personality. I would like you to focus on the second bullet point, which says, personality is a dynamic organization. Dynamic means it's moving. Organization is not company, not a firm. Organization means it's about putting the resources in a certain order. Organization means putting something in order. So it's a dynamic action of putting things in an order within the individual. Within me, I'm putting certain things in a certain order. Organization within the individual of those psychological systems that determine his unique adjustments to his environment. There is a particular environment given to me. I am called for delivering a talk to a forum of distinguished professionals, and that is my environment. And in that environment, I, the faculty, the speaker, has to make my unique adjustments. Unique means something which I do and only I do with myself. Somebody else cannot imitate what I do for myself. Unique means something which I do for myself because I know who I am and I make this unique adjustment. If another speaker is called to talk there, he would make his unique adjustment within him. Of what? Of the psychological systems, thinking, mood, energy level. These are all internal adjustments or adaptation I need to make before I come for the talk. My life is my life and is unique as compared to your life, which is also unique. So, personality is a unique adjustment of each of us. The adjustment is inside you to begin with. My definition of personality would be, it's a combination of internal and external factors put together, and both these factors have to synergize with each other. If I am right now talking to you as a faculty of the subject, then I have an external demeanor, the way I've dressed up, and I need to have that external demeanor being supported by my internal demeanor, which means internally, whatever I'm projecting as a role of a faculty, that has to be supported by the software within me, the knowledge of the subject, the experience, the thought process of how to connect to students. So these are the various things which I'm supposed to do. So within me, as a unique person that I am, like any one of us is unique, I have to make my adjustments inside me and develop what is called as a role personality driven by my internal psychological factors. It's not complicated, it's very easy. All of us do it. We need to understand it. I have a certain thing to tell you. In your notebooks, you can write down the word role, R-O-L-E, role. And draw an arrow and write down the word G-O-A-L, goal. Role, R-O-L-E, arrow, and the word G-O-A-L, goal. The discussion is as follows. we, each one of us, are playing multiple roles to attain multiple goals in our life. We are playing multiple roles to attain multiple goals in our life. Right now, I am playing the role of a facilitator to attain the goal of reaching the subject to all of you who are listening to me. After this session is over, I may go back to my office and play the role of an executive in the office who is delegating work to his subordinates. After that role is over, I may go back home and play the role of a householder with my family to attain family goals of peace, togetherness, etc. Remember, there are two things, role and goal. There's a role and there's a goal. Role is the actions I'm taking right now. This is giving you the requisite push that this is a faculty talking. So this role is important. It's important up to a point. This garb, this dress of mine, this jacket and this type of outfit. Because that puts me into the path. After some point, this may not be required, but this is required initially. Now, this role has to take me to the goal. So if I know my goal clear, if the goal clarity is there, that I need to do this, this, this and this for the students who are listening to me, then I work backwards and say, if they have to be effectively understanding the subject or the topic, then I need to prepare myself this way. So every personality, every role personality starts with a goal focus. It's not covered in your book right now, but I want to give you this input. Every role personality has to be worked backwards from the goal. We are playing multiple roles. You are playing the role of a parent in your home or a son to your parents. Do you know your goal? Ask this question. If I know my goal, my role gets played very well. My role is more clear. So when the role gets cleared, what happens? My internal adjustments of my psychological systems become clearer. And then I am seen to play a very effective role in the goal. That is the personality I am talking about. So every aspect of our life, we are playing multiple roles. So if all the roles I am playing, by understanding the goal of that role, then what happens to me? I am able to ideally adopt that role personality required by the role. I am going for a party. So when I go for a party, what's the role? What's the goal? The goal is to go and enjoy myself, let my hair loose and just freak out. So if that is clear, would I be going formally dressed like this? Certainly not. Because that's not a party mood. I'll wear something different. I'll wear something very loose and very convenient for me, so that I go and have my fun there. So once the goal is clear, then the role becomes very easy to be clear. When both of them are clear, then you are able to develop the dynamic organization within you of the psychological systems that determine your unique adjustment to the environment. Okay? So please get this very clear. Ask yourself a simple question. List down how many roles I'm playing in my life. How many roles I'm playing in my life? From the time you get up in the morning till you go to bed, you're playing multiple roles. Some 30, 40, 50 roles people play on an average. You've got to be aware of it. With every situation change, there's a new role. With every situation change, there's a new role. You're sitting at home in the morning, then you go for a walk. So the moment you leave home, a role is changing. The moment you come back from walk, you get ready and you go to the office, the role is again changing. So identify what are the different roles you're playing in a day. Ask yourself a simple question. Do I know the goal of this role? Many of us do not know. That's why we mess up our personality adjustments in certain situations. We mess up our personality adjustments in certain situations because we are not clear what we are supposed to do, and we do what we think is right based on certain people's inputs which are not very clear. Okay, so taking it further, straight away we have gone to the personality traits, and we are talking about what is called as a Myers-Briggs type indicator. Now this is a test which I would like to discuss, but before that I would like to talk about what do you mean by a personality test. It's a type of a test, a type of a written thing that you do, or you do it online, in which there are some questions asked and you have to answer the questions faithfully to what you are at the moment, not what you want to be. So the questions are structured in a certain manner. It is created by clinical psychologists, qualified people, and these tests have got certain questions given in a certain pattern. Maybe the question number 1, question number 7, question number 11, question number 24, they'll be connected, and those questions, the way you're answering, they'll come to know the pattern of your personality. It's very interesting. You find these tests online here and there in Facebook and all that, but my word of caution is all those tests are not clinically made. Some of them are being just done by for fun. So don't take some of the tests really seriously. There is a particular process in HR called assessment center. It may be an office of a center. It's a series of processes, a series of tests that are given to a person to determine his personality and other factors. So if you go to a structured assessment center, they will be in a position to give you this personality test. They got a menu card, and depending upon what the company wants, they'll send the employees to that person, to the assessment center. So this is one of the tests that is being administered by assessment centers. It's a very popular test. It is called as Myers-Briggs type indicators. Two individuals, Isabel Myers and Briggs, mother and daughter, both of them came together. They created this test based on a certain psychological principle. And this particular test is popularly called as MBTI. MBTI. Myers-Briggs type indicator. I conduct this test in many of my training programs. And it's a very interesting test. It tells you how you react in a certain situation. So reading from the slide, this is a personality test that asks respondents how they feel or act in a particular situation. One more word of caution: if you go through a personality test and you get some results, don't start feeling that that's a slotted way of looking at you, because personality is dynamic. If, for example, the personality test says that you are displaying angry traits, now don't be under the impression that you will always be angry and you are always angry. Personality test gives you an indication, underline the word indication, about what you may be or what you could do. It's not conclusive, it is inferential. At this point of time, if a test is given to me and I get a test conducted on me, I will give certain types of answers. The same test, if it is given after 3 months or 6 months, I will give you a different set of answers. So at this point of time, my answers will tell me I am ABCD in terms of behavior, characteristics, etc. But the same test will give me a different picture some months back. So I address this to corporates also. HR people are known to conduct these tests for selection process in campus interviews, etc. And based on the test results, they at times reject certain people, certain prospectives, because the test says they are not cut out for the profile which they want. I would not stop at that, because the test is situational and the test has to be backed up with a number of other series of tests. If I really have to know you, I have to conduct a series of tests over a period of time, not in one single day, not in a few minutes or 1 hour. So what's the purpose of this test? The test is very simple. It just tells you this is what this person will do given a situation, because that is a natural way in which he responds. That's the way his psychological adjustment within takes place, and he would do this naturally. So, I'm not saying the tests are incorrect. No, the tests have to be properly interpreted by us. The tests have to be properly interpreted by us. It's like you standing on the weight machine and your weight is 96 kg. 96 kg, or let us say the weight is 106 kgs. I'm just shooting off a figure. Is this person obese? Is this person fat? That's what we would think based on our understanding, our perception about what is fat. Now, if I give you additional input that this person is a lady and she is pregnant, then your perception will change. So, in other words, a personality test gives you one aspect of a person, one information. It tells you this is what the person may do. He will not always do that, because situations keep changing, and when situations change, personalities also change. We go through transitions in life, don't we? You were a small child, you grew up to become an adolescent. From an adolescent, you become an adult. Then you got married, you had children, and so on. With every transition, did your role personality change or not? Obviously. So with every change of role personality, did you see that your behavior, your perceptions, your attitudes started changing? They did. So this is one of the tests which is very powerful, it's very, very useful, and this is a test very popular in many corporates. Myers-Briggs Type Indicator, MBTI. Now this test has got different formats. You go online, there is a test which is which administers 72 questions. There's a paid site also, and there are various other formats by which MBTI is administered on people. Now broadly, what does it contain? It contains four parameters. Four alphabets are given at the end of the test. You go through the test, and then you click on, and then you get four alphabets which explain to you who you are. And then there are percentages also given there. I'm not getting into that detail right now. So these four parameters are, the first one is extroverts versus introverts, denoted by the alphabet E and I, extrovert and introvert. Second is sensitive, or sensing, you call it sensing or intuitive, denoted by S or N. Then we have thinking versus feeling, denoted by T or F. And finally, we have perceiving versus judging, P or G. Now, these are two different types of bipolar orientations. Bipolar means two parts. You find people who are more extroverts, less introverts, or more introverts and less extroverts. There's nobody who's 100% extrovert or 100% introvert. Get this very clear. There is nobody who is 100% sensitive and 100% intuitive, and so on. So this gives you an idea. These are the four different parameters. The first parameter talks about your way you are drawing energy, the way we start, where is my consciousness. Extroverts are outward oriented. The second parameter is talking about how I take in information. I'm using the five sensory organs, through that I take information. So how do I take information? Do I take from the sensing path, or do I take it from the intuitive path? Third one tells me, how do I process the information that I've taken? How do I process it within my brain? Am I a person who takes information, starts thinking and pondering over it, or starts feeling about the information? And finally, the last one tells you, what is my action orientation? If I want to act upon the data I have taken in, process it, do I act from the perceiving path of point of view, or do I go from the judging point of view? This needs a lot of explaining. I am not getting into details right now, because that comes into a separate subject which HR people study. But those of you who are interested can go along and read about it in the websites. You can just type MBTI, there are a number of links, and you can go through them, right? There are 16 types or preferences. We call it preferences in MBTI. So if you go to that particular site, you'll find there are 16 different types of combinations of the four letters. INTJ, ESTJ, ENTP, ENTF, and so on and so forth. And each one is a preference of the individual who gets the results. So as far as INTJ is concerned, let's not get into slotting people. You see, there's a very big pitfall when you go through personality tests. We start slotting people. Keep on reminding yourself that personality test is dynamic in nature. There are certain parts of you, very, very small parts of you, which remain constant in life. But majority of your life is dynamic in nature. So when you come across INTJ, for example, and you read that it's skeptical, critical, independent, determined and stubborn. Now, these need not be taken negatively by people who think that these are not good. There's also one more pitfall when you talk about introverts and extroverts. There's a lot of people who feel that extroverts are better. Extroverts are, inverted commas, marketed a lot. And somebody who doesn't talk, somebody who's keeping quiet, an introvert. By the way, introverts are not people who don't talk, they also talk. Extroverts are not people who always talk, they also keep quiet. Now that stereotypical way of understanding introverts and extroverts have to be redefined by us. So, I'm interjecting to just tell you the importance of looking at these things as dynamic in nature, A, and also realizing that everything has got its own usefulness. And INTJ is required in society, in an organization, at home, because INTJ serves a purpose. It's an orientation which the person has chosen to live with the group. ESTJ, these people are organizers, they're logical, they're analytical and decisive. ENTPs, extrovert, intuitive, thinking, perceiving types. They are conceptualizers, they create concepts, they are able to think in very spatial form. They are very innovative, creative, individualistic and versatile. These are three of them that has been described for the sake of throwing a light upon what MBTI offers you. It's a very detailed thing and it carries on.